everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. Tom, I know you share my thoughts on this. I could sure do without the dust and the wind today.
Yes, and the National Weather Service says it may pick up later this afternoon.
Oh boy.
In different places. It's not going to be everywhere.
Good day to stay inside. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. It's the 13th of April, 2023. The show in our 13th year, broadcasting from the Bustos Media Tucson Broadcast Complex in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This year, the Department of Public Safety is seeking more than $40 million to replace its communications system here in Southern Arizona. Because the system is so old, there are numerous blackout areas in our area, and this is a huge public safety issue for Arizona state troopers and citizens, according to Jeff Hawkins, president of the Arizona Troopers Association. Jeff, joining us now on the live line. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about why this is such a big concern, Jeff.
Well, this is a big concern. As you know, we represent the sworn state troopers, the professional staff, and retirees of the Department of Public Safety. And part of our goals and mission as a labor organization is to try to make sure working conditions are safe and conditions meet probably what we consider normal standards. And over the last, I've been president now, reelected twice, for the last 4 years, we've been fighting with the legislature to try to get money to either replace our system or just repair it. And we've got money for Northern Arizona. They're working on that now. The next step is the $42 million we're asking for to essentially just repair this aging system. I think your listeners might be shocked to know that we buy our parts from a rummage dealer out of the state of California.
What?
Because the parts needed, as California is upgrading their system, we're buying all of their old parts.
Oh, my
As they clean
goodness.
Them up.
Oh, my.
And they send them down. So this is really just a patch and a quick fix for an aging old system. And so we're trying to bring it to light. It's difficult for people to try to grasp sometimes when you've never been behind a radio and you need that radio to get out. And so that's why we appreciate you having us on your show, so that we can let the citizens in Southern Arizona know about what's going on.
Well, the legislature needs to get off the ball on this, or on the ball, and get this taken care of, because this is a huge safety issue.
It is, and I'll tell you, my vice president was down there stationed in Tucson, and he shared a story when he was trying to take a combative suspect into custody down in Vail, and his radio did not work. He tried to get out numerous times, and dispatch could not hear him. It just happened to be that a good citizen stopped to help him to be able to try to take this person into custody. And we have stories, and we've now supplied information to the legislature that it's not just DPS that use these radios. We support 23 other agencies in all 15 counties.
Oh, boy.
So there are lots of people that use our radio towers, and it just happens to be that we're the keepers of them, and kind of like the person that has to go ask for the money to fix it.
We're speaking with Jeff Hawkins. Jeff is, as he said, he's been reelected now a couple of times, president of the Arizona State Troopers Association. It's not just the communications issue, but you're losing a lot of troopers. I know you've lost hundreds in the past 3 years. How big a deal is this, Jeff?
Well, we have looked at numbers over 333 troopers have left for regrettable reasons. We call it regrettable attrition for other opportunities, and it's leaving us with a 260 vacancy gap in our patrol. We have areas that aren't covered at nighttime. As a matter of fact, that all of I-40 is not covered for 24 hours. There are several areas in the state where if you need a trooper because you're hurting and you've rolled your car or you see a drunk driver or something, they're calling and waking them up in the middle of the night to come out. So for us, it's a big deal, the vacancy rate and the amount of troopers that we need to staff and get our levels back to safe levels.
So we've got a big pay issue, I guess, trying to keep up with surrounding states. Is that right?
It is right. You know, we have done a good job, and the legislature has answered the calls. I would like to say that they were just easy, and I went to the legislature, and they gave us pay raises. But it's been a fight every year to try to get ongoing money to take care of pay raises. So, historically, our troopers have always been behind the ball when it comes to salaries, even at the state levels, right? Washington still makes about 18,000 more a year than we do. Oregon makes about 10,000 more. Colorado makes 14,000 more. I could keep going on around the state. We have just not made market adjustments. And I can tell you, I'm starting my 17th year with DPS, and I went 10 years without any pay raise or adjustment at all. So all of that stuff leading up to where we are now has put us kind of in a hole. And as you know, lots of people are moving here, and a statistic that most people are unaware of is that the state has added 1,000 miles of roadway since the mid-90s, but not one additional trooper FTE, not one additional body to accommodate for the 1,000 miles of roadway. And it's staggering.
I just don't get it, Jeff Hawkins. We've got a budget surplus now, a pretty darn healthy surplus in the state of Arizona. Why in the world can we not cover you and your men and women colleagues? This is ridiculous.
Well, I have my personal opinion as someone who's been involved with the budget process and asking. Is there are lots of legislators in lots of areas and lots of needs, and to kind of look past all the things that the Department of Public Safety do. You know, with the turnover rate currently at almost over 52% in as a legislative officials, as soon as you finally get somebody who understands what DPS does, then they leave, and another person comes in. And so you know, they don't understand that we act as in a state police function. You know, we do more than just patrol the highways. We have a whole criminal investigation side of the house that does state-level narcotics and state gang task force and vehicle theft and deal with missing children and canines that do all the interdiction on the freeways. It people just don't know all the things that we do. And pretty soon our services aren't going to be up to snuff when you're dealing with 260 plus vacancies. And so to answer the question, you know, it boils down to the dollars are tight when they go to ongoing. We do have $1.8 billion in one-time money. And, yes, we're fighting for that one-time money to replace the radios, but for us to get more pay and benefits, that is ongoing money. And that's sought after by and because DPS is in the general fund. We're not appropriated money. So we have to fight with every entity to try to get what little money we can.
Well,
and it's a tough battle.
Well, Jeff, I'm glad we could give you some airtime here to tell your story here to Southern Arizona. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for the time. And have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. You too. Jeff Hawkins, president of the Arizona Troopers Association. They really need some support. Hope everybody will talk to their lawmaker about this situation. It really is a huge public safety issue, not just the communication system. He told that story. A trooper could not get a radio, and he had to borrow a cell phone from a passerby. That just shouldn't be. Anyway, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, something that we all can agree on. I think they're a great place for some beautiful pastries, including their signature, the Danish Kringle. Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, a huge variety of beautiful pastries. The website's monasdanishbakery.com, open right now for lunch, open for breakfast Tuesday through Saturday, 7:30 in the morning, and they open on Sunday at 7. Get there early for the best selection of wonderful pastries. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, beautiful 13-acre site, very conveniently located on East River Road by the Rialto River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and all of the beautiful Talavera pottery and beautiful items, many of them handcrafted from Zocalo Village, their sister business on site, zocalovillage.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It really is, it's hard to believe. Every 68 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted. Joining us on the live line, Christine Welter Hall, the Chief Operating Officer for Kodak Health, Recovery, and Wellness Incorporated. Christine, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I'm just wondering, what is being done locally to kind of raise awareness about this really very difficult and concerning issue?
Yes, absolutely. It is Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April, and there are a number of events happening around the community. Our partners at the U of A, Pima County Attorney's Office, a group of other community folks, they're all putting together a lot of events, including Take Back the Night, which is later this month. But a program of Kodak, the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault, is actually putting on its 24th annual Dine Out for Safety fundraiser next Wednesday, April 19th. And that's what I'm personally most excited about for Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Christine, do you have a lot of restaurants that have decided to step up and take part this year on April 19th?
We sure do. We have 18 local restaurants who are donating up to 20% of proceeds from breakfast, lunch, and or dinner to support survivors of sexual assault at the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault, or SACASA. We have so many great restaurants participating. In fact, many of your sponsors and folks that you probably know well, from Jam Culinary Concepts, we have both locations of Vero Amore and both locations of Noble Hops, which is really exciting. Would you like to hear more about the other
restaurants?
Sure.
Those are, of course, a couple of our signature sponsors, but we'd love to hear some more. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's something for everyone on this list. And again, it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You can check out our website, dineoutforsafety.org, for all of the details about what times the restaurants are open, et cetera. But we've got Feast, Riley Craft Pizza, Mama Luisa's Italian Restaurant, Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free Bakery and Bistro, all three locations of El Charro Cafe, so the famous downtown one, the one on Oracle and Oro Valley, and the one near Ventana. We've got Charro Vida. We've got the Monica, Barrio Charro, Transplant Pizza, Crooked Tooth Brewing, Laco Tucson, and last but certainly not least, Yellow Brick Coffee at the Benedictine.
Very good. And a raffle to go along with all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're real busy that day. In addition to our sponsorships and our restaurant proceeds from the day, we also raise a really good amount of money through raffle ticket sales. Each ticket is $10. But of course, if you increase your tickets, we have price breaks for you. So you can even get 15 tickets for a mere $100. We have over 50 incredible prizes to places here around Southern Arizona, including staycations, spa services, other gift cards to other local establishments. But check this out. The grand prize for one very, very lucky winner is a $50 gift card to all of our participating restaurants.
Nice.
So $50 to Noble, $50 to Vero, $50 to Feast, $50 to every one of those restaurants. So that adds up to a lot of nights out.
Let's talk a little bit about how serious this problem is, Christine.
Yeah, we try to have this event so that we can raise awareness, not only raise money, which is important, but raise awareness of the services that are available here in Southern Arizona for survivors of sexual violence, whether that happened to them 25 years ago or just yesterday. We want folks to know the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault is here. And it's a very pervasive issue. While we may not talk about it openly, we need to, because nearly one in six women have been raped in their lifetime. One in four girls and one in six boys will be sexually assaulted before they're 18. Mm. 1 in 5 women is sexually assaulted while they're in college, and we know we have a huge college campus here. We know that transgender people, 47% of transgender people experience sexual assault in their lifetime. And Native American and Alaskan Native women have 56% of them have experienced sexual violence in their lifetime, with the majority committed by non-Native men. So it's really pervasive in many of our communities that make Southern Arizona who we are.
So the proceeds from this dine out event go where?
To the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault, which is a program of CODAC, which is a nonprofit organization. CASA provides 24/7 advocacy, therapy, support, and medical forensic examinations to all survivors and their loved ones. And most importantly, and which is why fundraisers like this are really, really important, is that all of our services are provided at no cost. So please join us next Wednesday, April 19th. Check out our website, dineoutforsafety.org, to see all the participating restaurants, get your takeout for the week. You can also buy raffle tickets online or come see us at the restaurants. And we have dozens of volunteers at all the restaurants selling those raffle tickets.
Christine, I've got a couple of more minutes here, and I'd like to kind of explore what you do and what CODAC is all about. Why don't you begin by saying kind of a little bit of the history of CODAC, please?
Sure. Yeah, CODAC Health Recovery and Wellness. We were founded in the very early 70s as a group, or by a group of really inspired individuals who wanted to make change here, specifically as it related to people who were using drugs. And so they received funding to start addressing the substance use problem in our community in the 70s. And as the over 50 years have passed, we have really expanded. And today we have 7 treatment campuses, over 325 staff, not including volunteers. And we provide a full cadre of integrated health care for individuals living with mental illness, substance use disorders, and trauma. So really working on having the physical health care, the psychiatric care, the behavioral health care, the therapy. We even have we have employment specialists. We have many of our staff, nearly half of our staff at least, are certified peer support specialists who are, have experience in their own recovery journeys themselves. And newly, we have personal trainers and health coaches, just to really round out that whole health wellness for all of our clients.
Christine, what is your take on our homeless issue here in town? I'd just like to hear some of your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a really complex, very, very complex issue. Certainly, there are a lot of reasons that people can be homeless and are homeless here in Southern Arizona. And we at CODAC, we are part of the solution for that, with offering services specifically for folks who their homelessness may be related to substance use disorders or mental health concerns or both. We know that many of our clients are much more vulnerable to not having safe and secure housing, and that recovery can be really difficult when they don't have a solid roof over their head or a safe place to just practice all the skills that they learn when they're here at CODAC.
You know, fentanyl is such a big issue too. And I, some of your thoughts on that here before we quickly close.
Yeah, it's terribly dangerous. We know that one pill, all it takes is one pill. And, but we also know that you can recover from an addiction to, or dependence on fentanyl. And CODAC is here to help. We have 24/7 availability for folks to come in and get enrolled in treatment. We're not a detox center, but we can connect folks with detox or regular outpatient treatment, residential programs. We have the 24/7 Center of Excellence for Substance Use Treatment here in Southern Arizona. And so folks can go to kodak.org to learn more about that as well.
All right. And again, getting back to our lead topic, dineoutforsafety.org is the place to go to find out about all of the locations. There are 18. It's Wednesday, April the 19th. And it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a portion, I think it, what'd you say, 20%?
Up to 20%,
yeah,
yep.
Very good. So we appreciate very much. Thank you, Christine, for sharing this information. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill. We'll see you out there.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. That was Christine Welter Hall. She is the Chief Operating Officer for Kodak Health Recovery and Wellness Incorporated. Coming up next, our Reed Park Zoo update right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios when we do our telephone interviews, of which we're doing a couple today. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I want to talk a little bit about our great sponsor, Silver City. Silver City only, normally about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. It's not a bad drive at all over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. There is so much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, all sorts of Actually, there's some great indoor activities as well, like visiting Western New Mexico University and their incredible collection of Mimbrace pottery, some of the finest Mimbrace pottery collection in the United States. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. would make a great getaway if you are, everybody's looking for kind of a spring getaway. This would be the time to do it. All right, the following segment presented by Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed, is an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo has become one of America's top zoos, with over 300 animals from all over the world, welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, we have Nancy Kluge, the president and CEO of the Reed Park Zoo. Nancy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. You've got a big birthday coming up this weekend over there at the zoo.
We do. It's an exciting one. Yabanga is our female white rhino, and she is turning 50 this weekend.
50?
That's what makes that really impressive is that the median life expectancy for a white rhino is 36 years old.
Wow. That's very impressive. So something must be, it sounds like the rhino is very happy over at the Reed Park Zoo.
We do think that her age is really a testament to the great care that she's received from our veterinary team and our animal care professionals. They do a lot for her. They know that she likes soft places to lie down. She loves mud wallows. So,
Nancy, give us an update on some of the very important projects that you've got going on, including World of Play.
We've got a lot coming. So World of Play is really moving along quickly. This is going to be a fantastic playground and really an adventure zone that will give kids a chance to meet nature hands-on. And what the best way to learn is through play and having fun. They'll be able to pretend they're a penguin and slide down an Antarctic cave, climb to a top of a sequoia tree, and seeing an eagle's eye view of the world. And one of my favorite things is that it's accessible. So someone in a mobility device or wheelchair can get right up there at the top as well.
There was a lot of community dialogue about another project last year. A lot of people talked, weighed in on the Pathway to Asia project. What's going on with that?
There was. And, you know, when you have that long community dialogue, sometimes you come up with the best solutions that weren't available before. And that's what's happened here. We have a new location for Pathway to Asia. It uses no green space in the park. And it will be in the zoo's current parking lot as we build a new parking lot that will have more spaces, great handicap accessibility that will be just north of the current parking lot.
So this will expand the footprint for the Reed Park Zoo?
Yeah, it'll add about 3.5 acres. So about the size of the elephant exhibit, and it'll have new species such as the red pandas, Komodo dragons, the fruit bats, siamangs, so many different animals. And the centerpiece around all of it will be bringing back tigers to the zoo. So Malayan tigers, with a conservation and breeding center, a chance for people to learn how researchers in the wild identify tigers, and just a beautiful facility that will be world-class for them.
There was some wonderful news just a day or two ago out of India, Nancy. Perhaps you heard about it. The Indian tiger, their population has doubled, actually, in the last several decades, which is really a wonderful news.
It really is. And we were fortunate to have one of the tiger researchers that Reed Park Zoo supports here a few weeks ago. And that was the news we heard as well, is while they've had a lot of challenges, there's been a huge decline over the past century, that they're starting to come back, and that's really a testament to the work of these conservationists and researchers.
You know, some of these ongoing habitat and the grounds improvements are made possible in large part by the people who visit our community, right?
Mm-hmm. I really can't thank the community enough for making Reed Park Zoo's able to have this the highest level of animal welfare, to have great exhibits. Our next phase after Pathway to Asia will be increasing the size of some of our exhibits in the middle of the zoo. And that's really thanks to our community, and that's who we're here to serve.
Nancy, we'd like to talk about some of the great events. Spring is a wonderful time to visit the zoo. What do you have coming up?
We've got a lot of fun. So the Big Bugs exhibit is still here at the zoo. It's here through April 30th, so you've just got a couple weeks to come by and see these enormous insects. We mentioned Yabonga's birthday. That'll be coming this Saturday. Free cookies for the first 300 guests. And then on April 22nd is Party for the Planet. So that's a event where we celebrate our conservation projects and all of the great work being done in our community to save our planet, really. And that if you bike to the zoo that day, you can get in for $5. May 20th, we will host our annual brew at the zoo. We'll have about 20 of our breweries out stationed all over the zoo, and those proceeds will benefit the zoo and conservation programs. And then May 27th, summer is back, and that means our Saturday summer safari nights, where you can come visit the zoo at night, enjoy theme nights, keeper chats, and different activities.
Well, you have a great team there, don't you, with your keepers? That's such a specialty, because these people, they interact with the animals know them, and it takes a special type of person to do that kind of work, Nancy.
It really does, and we're so fortunate to have such a passionate staff. And when you talk to them, you realize it's not just the lions or the elephants. It's that they know them each. They know, like I mentioned, Yabonga, our rhino, and they know what Kaya's personality is like, our female lion, and Tony, our male lion. They know them each individually as individuals, and really put everything they have into creating an environment that not just where they're clean and well-fed, but they've got lives worth living. And I wake up every morning so appreciative for all that they do and the passion they put into their work.
And let's close by saying where people can find out more information, Nancy.
ReedParkZoo.org. That'll have a list of our events, how you can get involved in the zoo, whether it be visiting, buying a membership, or becoming a volunteer.
Nancy Kluge. Thank you, Nancy. Always a pleasure. Nancy, the president and CEO of the Reed Park Zoo. Thank you. I hope you have a great afternoon.
You too, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. All right. We'll pause right here. Coming up next, Mark Sykes, Dr. Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute, on a very jam-packed hour on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. We are utilizing the Live Line a lot today. The Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line to Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, which now in its 51st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit, being engaged very actively in the exploration of the solar system right here in Tucson. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
I'm just fine, but, you know, it occurs to me this summer my beard turns 50.
Yes, sir. Hey, there's some news about Russia has said, this news happened yesterday, breaking news, It plans to use the International Space Station until 2028. There had been some concern that maybe in 2024 that would be it, but I assume this is welcome news.
It depends on NASA and where, you know, what the plans are there. I think that they were. It's hard to say. They keep talking about deorbiting it at some point, and so maybe Russia would have to use it in the ocean or something. But it would be nice to continue its operation until we have something else going.
Understand you're getting some very positive feedback from the editorial, your editorial in the Planetary Exploration Newsletter. The editorial, Congress needs to intervene in the management of NASA's planetary science.
Yeah, it's this isn't totally NASA's fault. The problem is that they're given a budget line to follow and said, and you got to do all these things. They don't have the money to do all these things, and the administration isn't asking Congress for all the money it needs. And so as a consequence, they end up cannibalizing good programs that are on schedule, that are under budget, in order to try and shore up other large, more volatile programs like Mars Sample Return that are over budget and growing, and so it results in a whole bunch of projects and missions that are at risk that weren't at risk before, and where we lose out on a lot of investment made. I mean, this extends even to the chopping a few million dollars off of the the New Horizon mission that flew past Pluto and is still doing fantastic work out in the Kuiper Belt and with more to come. And but NASA wants to stop doing the planetary work on that before we even find if there's another target to fly by, which would be revolutionary. And they put all this stuff in a kitty to feed these other projects. They've basically canceled the Veritas mission, zeroed it out for like 3 or 4 years. Oh, we'll launch it further on down the road. If the team is still there, and oh golly, there's contribution by Germany that they have been counting on, and they were told at a meeting in Texas that I was at that though I have yet to hear the recording, but they cancel stuff on us, we do things to them, and there should be any expectation that we're going to follow through on our obligations on spacecraft missions with international partners. Ye gods, as a person who's put together mission proposals, you want to be able to reach out to international partners and say, hey, come and join us, save us money, add some capabilities that we didn't have. So things are in a bit of a turmoil at the agency. And if the Biden administration doesn't want to ask for the resources they need to do things right, which they haven't, then Congress needs to step in and decide what the priorities are and fund it.
And I like this, your concluding sentences, which I will share with our listeners. Congress needs to decide whether NASA is a space agency or a performing arts agency. NASA does not consider...
Science agency. Science agency.
NASA needs to decide whether it's a science agency or a performing arts agency. NASA does not consider itself to be a science agency, and this may be part of the problem.
Yes. I mean, I get senior NASA officials telling me all the time that NASA is not a science agency. Our job is to launch missions. It's like launch missions to do science. And so what are we doing? But that just means that we can gut the science. And as long as we get our press release of the launch or a picture of a planet, that's all that's really important. And that's kind of manifested in this whole thing where they're going around cannibalizing missions like Veritas, Neo Surveyor, the ongoing Mars missions, cutting the science significantly on all of them. It's in order to, again, prop up these other programs that are in trouble.
Hey, Mark, before we let you go, a Harvard professor wants to look for alien space technology, and he says the place to do it is an interstellar meteor that hit the ocean near Papua New Guinea about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that would be kind of tough because, it's really cool that there is this meteor that was determined to come from outside the solar system. But it's not a very big object, and the fragments would be scattered over the ocean floor, and finding it would be damn near impossible because they don't know exactly where it hit. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, on this side of the island. So yeah, okay. But it's like when a Muamua flies by. I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, gee, could that have been, an alien spacecraft or something? Test the hypothesis. This is what science does. It doesn't. It's a process by which we examine questions and determine, if it falls out, one way or the other. I get asked about, about UFOs and aliens and stuff like that. And I say, I'm all in favor of it, because if we actually found conclusive evidence of alien civilization, particularly anything passing through our own solar system or visiting the Earth, can you imagine what that's going to do for my funding? It'll be right through the roof. So I'm in favor, always.
I think we got time.
Go ahead. And I was just going to say that, you know, and I would predict, Bill, that before this decade is out with James Webb, that we'll discover life in another world.
Wow.
You know, evidence for life, you know, like a non-equilibrium chemistry in an atmosphere that really needs life to explain it because there's no geological processes that could result in it. I expect that's going to happen. And I think that, you know, within our lifetimes, we may find that, one, life is common in the university, in the universe, in even at universities, and that we'll detect techno signatures. You know that life like us, or you know, civilizations are out there as well, and so I really think that's coming.
How would that be confirmed, Mark? How would that be confirmed? Just through some particular signature that the web would pick up?
Well, for the life, you know, it could be bacterial or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be spectra of the exoplanetary atmosphere that indicates there's processes going on there that are consistent with life. The technosignatures would be stuff that we'd have to recognize as technosignatures. So, you know, maybe radio, maybe, you know, some signal in some electromagnetic radiation, whatever. But we would be focusing more on places that, you know, we find evidence for, like in the atmosphere or whatever of life. And then you can really train your sights on, is there anything else interesting going on there? and it would be fun. It would be, I mean, how much fun would that be to be able to go out there and go hunting? Not in a negative way, in a positive way. Searching for something, yes.
All right. Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, and I want to give your website. I'm a member of the Planetary Science Institute. I encourage everyone to join me. It's psi.edu. It took me a few years, but I got the website right.
Oh, you're really good now.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Tucson, Arizona Planetary Science Institute. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Hope everybody had a good hour. We had a lot of content in today's hour, and we thank all of our sponsors for making all of that possible. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money. On behalf of Mr. Tom Fairbanks, glad Tom's feeling a little better after his cold, but he's on the mend. That's the good news. Bill Buckmaster saying, hope everybody has a great afternoon.